Okay, good morning all. We're up to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey, Chapter 1, Mishnah 5 of Maseches Megillah. Yesterday we finished off the Mishnah by using the clause Ein Bein Adar Harishon and Adar Sheni. There's no difference between Adar Harishon and Adar Sheni, Ella, except for the following. Now this introduces a series of Mishnahs that we'll do over the next few days that have nothing to do with Purim or Megillah or whatever, but they are Ein Bein Mishnahs. They have the same concept of comparing two things that in many ways are very similar, but in one or a couple of ways the Mishnah will say that they are different. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Mishnah Hey, Ein Bein Yom Tov LeShabbos. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Ella Ochel Nefesh Belvad. Other than food preparation, right? In general, to prepare food on Yom Tov, a person can do Malacha. Of course, there are exceptions, but in general, that's what a person could do. But on Shabbos, a person cannot prepare food. He can't do any Malacha, prepare food on Shabbos. Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom Kippurim. Another idea. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Ella Shazez Zedona Bidei Adam. Except that when a person deliberately desecrates Shabbos, he essentially is punished by the Beis Din, by a court of people. This does come with the prerequisites of having a warning and doing the action in front of witnesses, etc. But that is how a person is generally going to be punished for a deliberate desecration on Shabbos. Whereas when it comes to Yom Kippur, deliberate desecration of Yom Kippur will be punished by Karis. Parenthetically, it happens to be that if a person does deliberately desecrate Shabbos without a warning, without witnesses, etc., then he actually will get Karis for that. But in general, the finest form of, unfortunately, the finest form of desecration of Shabbos, deliberate desecration in front of all the right things, will get you punished by the Beis Din, and on Yom Kippur, it will get you punished by Karis. Okay, Mishnah Vav deals a lot with neders. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Ein bein hamudar hana'a mechaveru lamudar mimeno ma'achal. There is no difference, says the Mishnah, between a person who took a nether not to receive any benefit from another person, and from a person who took a nether not to receive food benefit from another person. So what does this mean? Basically someone said, I won't get any benefit from you. That we understand. The other case of food benefits is, I don't want anything food related. So we'll see, well, there should be a lot of things in that category that person could do with that individual. So there should be a lot of differences. Why can't he, go into his kitchen and wash his hands with the sink? Or, something simple like that. Where do we draw the line? Why do we say that they're basically the same, except for a few situations? So says the Mishnah. So the difference between them is that when a person says, "I won't receive," a person takes a nether not to receive any food related benefit, then this person is allowed to set foot on the other person's land, and the person can also use any of his kalim that usually are not prepared, are usually not used to prepare the food. Whereas a person who takes a nether not to receive any benefit can't do any of these things. So essentially, the difference, as the Mefarshim explained, is that if a person gets benefit from this individual for free and he doesn't have to spend any money for it, well, that is money that he saved that he can now go and purchase food. So basically anything that would normally be an action that he would have to pay for, then that would not be allowed from this individual because of the fact that he can be said to have saved money that he can now go and buy food. When it comes to walking on someone's land or using some of the kalim that in general are not rented out, those types of things that usually do not cost any money. So in that situation, we allow it, and that's the difference. But in general, they are awfully similar. One final case of the Mishnah. Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos. There's no difference between a neder and a nedava offering. Ela she nedarim chayav b'acharei usan, except that when it comes to a neder offering, so the general explanation of what nedarim offerings are and nedavos offerings are is that, so a neder offering is that someone's going to say, I'm going to take a korban. That's what a person would say. Nedav is a person goes over to a specific animal and says, I'm going to bring this one as a korban. So there's no difference between these two types of vows. Elash a nedarim chayav b'acharei usan, except that one who takes a neder offering, he is responsible. He has an acharias to bring an offering if in the odd event that it doesn't actually work out with a specific animal. So in other words, let's go through the case. So a guy takes another, he's going to bring a korban, and he specifies this goat, he's going to bring that as a korban. And what do you know what happens? The goat dies or is stolen or something like that. So says the Mishnah, he still has an acharias to bring a korban even if it didn't work out with this one. But he doesn't have an acharias to bring, he doesn't have a responsibility to bring a nedava offering if something happens to the animal, right? Because why? Because he says, I'm going over to this goat, and he says, I'm going to bring this goat as a korban. So what do you know? If something happens to the goat and he can't bring it, okay, so he can't bring it. He does no longer has a general responsibility. The language that he used didn't obligate him in general. Whereas when it was the neder, he didn't specifically say this goat. Later on, he specified this goat. But because of that, he does have responsibility to bring another animal, whereas the nedava, he does not. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Vav. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Zion, but for now we'll stop right here.